Good morning, Ming Tao Man. See, I have magic talents. Not only to see beyond the gods and time and space, but to figure shit out that no one else can or does. That, and but one must also be honest in appraisals, because there are areas that I'm absolutely appalling in and shouldn't be relied upon for shit, you know? So, like, as an example, there's, when the Concorde was taken off, and it had all the huge flames, pissing out from all the fuel spraying out from under the left wing. Still can't remember port or starboard, you know. But, you know, I looked at that picture and I went, yeah, I reckon that's about a 6-inch internal diameter fuel line. And it was pressurized. I forget what the exact figure was that I said, but I think it was either 80 psi, because then you can have relatively thin tubes and thin piping and low pressures and low weight, you know what I mean? And for something that's an intermediate sort of function, you know? And because the Concorde was a whole nest of fucking plumbing, where it's like a seesaw, you know what I mean? If they put too much fuel in the back, then it sinks. And if they put too much fuel in the front, then it sinks. But there's times and places where they adjust the trim of the aircraft so that it flies, it doesn't fly like dead horizontal, it flies slightly upwards. And by keeping the amount of fuel in the front half and the back half by the centre of gravity and aerodynamic pressure and all this other sort of stuff, they kept the aircraft flying in trim, you know. So as the fuel gets burned, as the fuel gets sucked from the front tanks and then pumped back down into the fucking wing tanks, they pump the fuel from the back tank up to the front tank, you know, to keep the ratio of fucking fuel levels and weights and stuff all sort of organized. Yeah, so what happened is I looked at that picture and I went, yeah, 6-inch diameter internal diameter fuel line at 80 psi. I can't remember if it was 80 or 180 psi, but I looked up the tables for it, and I was pretty much dead on. It was, I think it was 100, instead of being 165 millimetres internal diameter, it was actually 175, and the fuel was pressurised, I think, to 85 or 95 psi, you know. And that's just by looking at the fucking picture and the size and the length of the flames coming from the fuel that was just pissing out, you know, and the airspeed and all that sort of stuff. So I can just look at things and go, yeah, that's what I think's happening, and be dead right, nearly, you know. And so I've been reading these things on the fucking, you know, well, I could rate myself as the second most clever man in the whole world, because there's always someone else who's cleverer. So second best will have to do. Anyway, so they said, oh, there's no way to tell, you know, from the fucking, the shit that remains of the bloody shit on the ocean floor that remains of the imploded Titan submarine. They said there's no way to tell what's, you know, why it fucking imploded, what gave way, you know. But I said, fuck this, ba-ching, another bright idea, you know, right? And so it's accurate enough, you know. So that viewing port at the front, that could have been sort of bulged out a bit, you know what I mean? I'm trying to work in reverse here, you know. That could have been bulged out, just a bit out of the body or whatever. But we'll just say it's a recessed fucking, just for simplicities, right? Now, if that hull had given away, viewing port had given way, that meant it would have sort of squeezed in through the fucking hole, you know, like toothpaste out of a tube. And when enough of it had gone in, there'd be a lack of fucking resistance to squeezing it in, and then it would have just fucking bang and just shot in like a fucking gun, you know, like a bloody big bullet out of a cannon, you know. And then that would have been followed in by the water, and I think it would have filled up so fast that it would have caused an external surge impression. It would have bloody burst the ends off and fucking, you know, I'm not a real expert at being, you know, it's, you know, 3 or 4 Ks underwater, you know. But, you know, that's one thing. And so if they look for the debris and they find the end shells, which should be pretty easy, you know, the two titanium end shells, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, well, that would show, if the viewing port had extruded inwards and power fucking gone up like that, then there'd be all the scrape marks and shit on that shell, and the dregs of the, you know, acrylic being extruded inwards and then giving way, there'd be tearing, you know, plastic deformation and then tearing as it gave way. So that's one thing to look for. You find the shells and look for the acrylic shell. What happened in the titanium end caps, you know? And if the viewing port has, the acrylic viewing port is still in place, then it wasn't the fucking window that gave way, it was the shell, you know? And this is not absolute certainty, this is just very high sort of probability, you know? Because if this, what happens is, I used to read a lot of books, you know, especially as a kid, and the Teresti, which is the bath escape that went to the bottom of the Mariana Trench in 1960-ish, well, I was reading all about it, and they said that one of the things that they found was that as the sphere, like it was a great big petrol, basically it was a great big petrol tank, because petrol is incompressible and it's light, lighter than water, it's less dense, you know. And so that could hold a big steel sphere underneath it, you know. And when they let loose the counterweights, the petrol wouldn't compress at the great depths, and then it would slowly rise, you know. And one of the things that they saw on the way down is that as the sphere compressed, because the water pressure, the paint, which was still the same outside diameter as the original fucking shape on the surface, began to flake off, you know. And that's how much compression, you know, you really can squeeze metals, you know. And what I was thinking, that because of these two end caps, you know, titanium end caps, compressing at a different rate to the shell, basically that being sort of not very compressible, and these titanium shells, you know, squeezing down, that along the joint lines, the shells were compressing, and the fucking case or the tube, the carbon fiber tube, it'll compress, but not much. And that's where I reckon the point of failure was, along the glue lines. Because enormous pressures, they squeeze in like that, you know, and that fucking glue line would be giving away. That's what I reckon's happened. But that's a simple way to determine whether it was the shell or whether it was the viewing port that went, you know. Then there comes the additional complexity of, you know, just what caused the shell to fail, you know. How did that mechanism or that process of, was it the glue line or was it the shell failed in a different way, you know, like sort of, I don't think it was a bad design, but I think it was an unsuitable design for great depths. And it also wasn't tested to failure, you know. Like, say, if it was designed for 4,000 metres and they plopped it in the ocean and lowered it sort of automatically type thing by some sort of timer or depth pressure gauge sort of thing, so that when it went down to, say, 6,000 metres, if it didn't pop, then it would come back up, you know. And, you know, there was no, you know, out of every sort of 50 dives or so, every 20 dives, because the pressures are so extreme and the forces are so fucking high, there's no room, there's not much room for margin of error. And it's easy to build spherical structures, or any structure, it's easy to sort of overbuild it so that it won't fail. But unless they've got a really comprehensive way to test carbon fibre, or carbon fibre / composite sort of structures, I think it's a very bad idea. You know, there's, say, building, say, something like that and only going down to 100 or 200 metres, piece of piss, you know. But going down, like, 4,000 metres, it's like, fuck, that's a long way down. You know, that's a lot of pressure. And, yeah, you know. And like what everybody said, they said that the field, the properties of going deep with steel or titanium hulls, it's already known. It's already sort of known, it's all calculated, and it can all be sort of done and tested, and know that you've got a bog stock, very reliable fucking craft with no modes of failure in it, you know. Or where there are potential modes of failure that they have to be retested every 50 dives or something like that, you know, or every, you know, every year sitting out of water, you know, it's got to be just retested before immersion, you know. Things like that. But, yeah, that's the two ways to find out whether it was the hull that failed or whether it was the viewing port that failed. That's the straight-out easy stuff, you know, but then the harder stuff is if it was the hull that failed. You know, you can look at the glue lines on each end of the pressure titanium caps. You can look at the glue lines and what exists on there. And there may be... fuck, I've had some good teachers. There may be enough evidence to show just how the carbon fibre tube failed. It remains to be seen. But, yeah, people become engrossed in these things and it might work. Okay, thank you very much, and...